Live from Sacramento, California.
Woke up quick at about noon.
Featuring Damian Barling.
Yes, I absolutely still love Russell Westbrook.
So what?
And Kenny Caraway.
Sometimes you're really just vibing out.
This is D-Lo and KC.
I'm the street's voice out west. Legendary self-made progress. Last time that I checked.
On ESPN 1320.
Hope you had a fantastic weekend, and we welcome you in here to the Monday edition of D-Lo and KC here on ESPN 1320. I'm Damian Barling. He is Kenny Caraway, and we are thrilled that you are here with us. As we do each and every single Monday, we've got the phone lines clear for you. 916-349-1320. Go on and store that in your phone now. If you're not following us on Twitter yet, that's a great way to interact with the show as well. Twitter, Instagram, whatever your preference is, at D-Lo and KC. We have got you covered in that department. It was kind of a stress-free weekend.
Yeah, man.
As it pertains to football. Yeah. No 49ers game that we had to worry about. We got that out of the way on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
So we were able to just kind of kick back, put the Red Zone channel on, keep an eye on some of the main games that were happening. Watch the Raiders. How about the Raiders yesterday?
Yeah, about the Raiders, man. 5-3, man. Big ups to the Vegas Raiders, man.
How about the Chargers being the only team on the planet that didn't know they didn't win?
Come on.
Like,
man.
Literally, everybody knew that. Come on. I saw it a lot. Like, the ball literally bounced into his hands.
How about the receiver? You didn't catch that.
Okay.
You get up and you high fiving and high stepping, fam.
You got to sell
they
it.
They have replay. I know.
So the only thing that I can figure out is maybe they thought, okay, sell it. And then if, you know, maybe you get a bad angle, maybe the camera didn't catch it. Like, hey, I mean, they're running around like the Raiders knew. Everybody at home knew, but somehow the Chargers social media team didn't know tweeted walk-off victory.
Oh, my gosh.
And, of course, the Chargers are seeing the receiver react. They're running around. They're cheering, and you're like, oh, we all know exactly how this is going to end. And, of course, that's the second straight weekend.
On brand for the Chargers. On brand.
It's wild how it never changes. Players change. Phillip Rivers is gone. Anthony Lynn's there. It's not North Turner anymore.
Right.
Like, this is an organization that continuously finds spectacular ways to lose football games.
I mean, it's the Chargers, no matter who's there, no matter if they're in San Diego or Los Angeles, and it's Atlanta.
It's
just what they do.
There it is.
It's just what the players change, but the results stay the same. It's just what it is, no matter.
And the... I was watching that Atlanta game like, oh, are they about to
They almost. The difference with the Falcons is, and you know, around cover, it's just the whole city. It don't matter what it is. The only thing that they win at is an Outcast versus Tribe Called Quest. That's the only thing they gonna win at.
Well, they wanted a few other things this past week, but we'll save that for another conversation. Derek Carr, 13-23. Derek Carr. I know you know where I'm going with this.
Mm-hmm.
Derek Carr, 13 of 23, 165 yards.
Jeez.
13 of 23, 165 yards. Dude, if there is a more comparable player to Jimmy Garoppolo in the National Football League than Derek Carr, I don't know who it is.
Yeah. I mean, you're spot on there. I can't disagree.
Are the Spider-Man memes pointing at each other going, you know, no, your coach doesn't trust you. No, your coach doesn't trust you. Well, your organization is going to get rid of you. No, your organization is going to get rid of you. But the only difference between the two, I think Derek Carr has a bigger arm. That's the only difference I think there is between the two. And I think you can make an argument, or you could at least bring up the conversation. These two guys might wind up on different teams next year.
Yeah, and I think it would be a fail by both organizations if they did that. I don't agree with either one of them leaving. I don't think Derek Carr is a bad quarterback. I think he's a pretty good quarterback. You know, he has games like yesterday where he has those games. I feel like damn near – I talk about it every week. Damn near if you're not in the top five, if you're not Russell, Pat Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, every other quarterback has games like this. You know what I mean? And games that are stinkers. I think Derek Carr can play. I think Jimmy Garoppolo can play. Like you said, I think Derek physically can, you know, will go down the field a lot better than Jimmy. I think Jimmy, for the most part, is a better decision maker on average than Derek Carr. So there's a lot of give and take with both of them, but I'm with you. They're in the same ballpark, and I think they're both good.
But I feel like this is just kind of Derek Carr's game. 165, 200, 225 yards. Like, every once in a while, he'll give you something where he, you know, he throws for, like, I think he had, like, 350 or something. Like, he had a ton of yards against Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he threw for a bunch of yards. But other than that, I mean, 165. I mean, I'm not going to hold last week against
Cleveland
him against
game
Cleveland.
Was crazy.
That was a mess. I think he barely threw for 100 yards in that game. But
yeah, that's not on him.
He's got a big arm. He's got a bigger arm than Jimmy Garoppolo, but we see these games regularly from him. And then you constant, what did I call it before the season started? John Gruden's quarterback infidelity. Like, he's constantly, yeah. He's got that wandering eye. Like, he's constantly looking at the next quarterback. And I don't know that. I don't think either one of these guys are on different teams next year. I don't think Derek Carr is on a different team. I don't think Jimmy Garoppolo is on a different team. And I'm with you that it would be a mistake for either one of them to be gone. But these are two quarterbacks that are constantly under the microscope. You talk about, you know, Russell Wilson, Patrick Mahomes being in that upper echelon of quarterbacks, the Brady and the Breezes, and we'll get to the Sunday night football game later. But if we say Jimmy Garoppolo is above average quarterback, an average quarterback, the 14, 15, 16 range, Derek Carr is in the 14, 15, 16 range. Like, if Jimmy Garoppolo is ranked first, Derek Carr is right behind him. If Derek Carr is ranked mm-hmm. in front of him, Jimmy Garoppolo is right behind him. Like, these two are so closely aligned if you do a, you know, the old quarterback rankings.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it is. And these guys, more than anything, I know people, you know, will push back on me and say, no, you need a quarterback that can lead you to a winner, all this stuff. I don't disagree with that. But more than anything, every week Derek Carr or Jimmy Garoppolo is under center, you have a great chance to win. It's as simple as that. You're not going in there behind the eight ball. You know what I mean? You have a chance to win. You have a chance for them to elevate their play and sometimes carry you to a win. But you have a chance to win. And we saw that on Thursday night. Like, the Niners didn't really have a chance to win with Nick Mullins back there.
Yeah.
And that, you're already 21 points down, it feels like, when you don't have a guy that you believe can really win the game for you.
And Derek Carr can lead a comeback.
Yeah.
Like, Derek Carr, if necessary, and sometimes his decisions will make it necessary, he can lead a comeback. But I think he's played, you know, he hasn't made the mistakes that I think have frustrated Raider fans in the past this year. Mm-hmm. I mean, and that's part of the reason that this team is 5-3. I mean, this, if the playoffs started today, you know, it's an old played
out. You gotta love it. You gotta love
media line, but
started that in week two.
If the playoffs started today,
they're gonna make the playoffs just in general. Like, I think they will make the playoffs this year, and he'll have an opportunity because remember the last time they made it, he hurt his he broke his leg 2 weeks before the season ended. So he'll get an opportunity to be on that playoff stage and see what he can do with that kind of pressure on him. I'm looking forward to it for Derek Carr. I've never had a problem with Derek Carr. You know, Raider fans have been on him. Niner fans have made fun of him so many times. I don't have a problem with Derek Carr. Like I said, I think he's a good quarterback. I think he seems to be a pretty good guy.
He's a great guy.
Yeah, like, I don't Derek have any Carr's, problem with Derek Carr at all. I want to see him get this opportunity.
Derek Carr is one of those guys where you go, he's probably too nice. he's probably too nice for the position that he's in. Like, he's a quarterback. He's got to be a, you know, at some points in that, you know, position and being the leader of a team, you kind of got to be a jerk. Derek Carr just isn't that guy.
Yeah.
But what he is this year is he's a quarterback with 16 touchdowns and 2 interceptions.
That's really good.
You might not be wowed by the 16 touchdowns, man, but that interception to touchdown ratio is pretty fantastic.
That's great. I love that.
That's what we were saying there a moment ago. He hasn't been, you know, kind of flailing the ball around that used to drive Raider fans crazy in years past. And now you've got this team that I wasn't sure about headed into the year. I thought this was a team that was going to ride or die, particularly after the first game on Josh Jacobs. And they're still relying pretty heavily on their run game. We saw a heavy dose of Devontae Booker yesterday. Josh Jacobs still got 14 carries. We saw them utilize the run quite a bit. made the most out of Derek Carr's pass attempts with two passing touchdowns. Nelson Aguilar, all of a sudden in the Las Vegas Raider uniform, can catch everything thrown his way. Philadelphia fans, and I heard Marshall Harris doing the news last night, made a pretty snide remark about how he couldn't catch anything in Philadelphia, which I shouldn't call it a snide remark when it's actually true. He couldn't catch much in Philadelphia, but you get him here in Las Vegas with Derek Carr, and he only had two receptions, but both of them were pretty noteworthy.
I mean, we got to go through the all-time clip, the all-time meme of the guy. I think he said he caught a baby out of a window or something like that, and he's like, yeah, I caught the baby, unlike Aguilar, you know what I mean? Just out of nowhere, just hit him with the steel chair out of nowhere.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he's doing his thing in Oakland, in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
He's doing his thing.
Imagine that. You're on the news. You catch a baby out of, like, of a burning building, and you still know to throw a dig at Nelson Aguilar.
Unlike Aguilar.
But a great win for the Raiders now, 31-26. They are 5-3. As good as Justin Herbert continues to play, it's not translating to victories. That gives me a great concern for their head coach, Anthony Lynn. It makes me wonder, you know, how are you going to put together this roster in the future to get the most, in the future meaning next year?
Yeah.
You know the rules. When you've got a quarterback on that rookie deal, you've got to maximize it before that second contract is due, and you got to start paying the big bucks. But Justin Herbert's having a fantastic start to his NFL career. No exception from that yesterday. He thought he threw a touchdown pass to walk off. He didn't. It was still a hell of a play. And, I got on the Chargers a little bit. I have the benefit of sitting at home and seeing the camera angles and, you know, not having to react to the wide receiver who was running around as if he had just caught a touchdown pass. It was a hell of a throw. It was a hell of a play. It was as close as you're probably going to get without it actually counting. So you can't knock Justin Herbert in that sense.
But
you really can't knock the Chargers.
You can knock the social media team.
Oh,
like,
you can kill the social media team.
Relax, Chargers social media. What are you doing?
You were probably watching from a press box. At best, you were watching from a press box. Or at worst, you were watching from a press box. At best, you were watching from home. Still, you know all scoring plays are reviewed. Wait for the confirmation. And I don't have a problem with, how do you feel? Like, I don't have a problem with erring on the side of calling it a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
Going to the booth, getting it looked at, saying, nope, that's not it.
Yeah. No, that's fine. I thought the refs did handle that the right way. If he thought it was a catch, call it a touchdown. You know, in that situation, it truly doesn't matter. I guess if it was incomplete, it would still probably go to the booth. Like, it really doesn't matter at that point. Like, just make a call. I shouldn't say that, because whatever call you make, it has to be
evidence.
To overturn it. So maybe I should run that back a little bit. But
I think
I don't have
it's
a problem
the right
with them
thing
calling
to
the
do.
Catch.
I think it's the right thing to do. I think you rely on the replay system in that situation, and I think we're seeing a lot more. I think we're seeing touchdowns that maybe us from home are like, I don't think that was a touchdown, but the refs are calling it a touchdown, allowing it to go to the booth without costing anyone a replay. And it's a little bit different at the end of games and all of that because you've got, you know, the final 2 minutes, it automatically gets triggered and different things like that.
They still need to do a better job with how long it takes. My rule is always, if you can't overturn it in three looks, then it's not indisputable. Move on.
Yeah. It was a good day for the San Francisco 49ers yesterday, even though they didn't play football.
We're still in this thing, baby.
It's hard to argue, but I'm going to make the attempt to. So much more, plus what went on last night with the Saints and the Bucks.
Yikes.
Got all of that, plus all your NFL action, NBA stuff. We've got you covered here today on D'Lo and KC, Sacramento's number one sports station, ESPN 1320.
Continues on ESPN 1320.
The most talked about professional wrestling match in history took place 23 years ago today. Off the top of your head,
guess.
Do you know what I'm talking about? 23 years ago today. 1997.
The Montreal Screwjob?
That's it. 23 years ago,
wow.
The most overanalyzed wrestling match in it. The most overanalyzed.
Ring the bell.
Ending to a wrestling match took place 23 years ago today, Bret Hart.
Shawn Michaels, such a liar. I'm the behind this. I had nothing to do. I swear on everything. I didn't know anything about this, Bret. What? Comes out days later. Like, he knew how the whole thing was going down.
Well, he was a different man back then.
He was a different man back then, apparently. Yeah.
That's if you're not familiar with it, it's quite the story. Wrestling fans love nothing more than when like real life bleeds into the television screen, and that was the ultimate moment where real life kind of like interjected itself into wrestling storylines. And again, there have been movies about it, there have been documentaries about it. It has just been so analyzed over the course of the last 23 years.
That man Bret Hart really punched Vince McMahon.
He sure did. That's what brought that to my attention is someone posted it. It was like a rare picture of Vince after he got hit and his eyes like full like black and blue. I'm sure there are a number of wrestlers over the past who would love to have punched Vince McMahon. I'm sure Debo Samuel would like to punch somebody as well. Is Debo's been drug tested? Debo's been drug tested. He's on that Eric Reed plan. Drug tested five times already. He said only played in three games and done got tested for PEDs five times. That's what happens when you're built like Debo, man. They don't believe you.
Running over people, running through people. They're like, nah. We need you to be in this cup.
Okay, so maybe it wasn't the best week for Debo Samuel, but it was a pretty good weekend for the San Francisco 49ers as the Rams were off, so they couldn't lose. In the two of the bigger games of the weekend, certainly one of them was one of the more enjoyable games to watch. We'll start with the Seahawks, though. The Seahawks, they lose to your Buffalo Bills in Buffalo yesterday, 44-34. That brings Seattle down to, and I stretch here, but brings their record down to 6-2. Things are still kind of within grasp. We'll get to the 49ers portion of how this thing might be, you know, within grasp later. But really, for the Rams and the Cardinals, it puts this division still at play with the Seahawks defense continuing to stink.
They mean the Seahawks ain't it, bro. They're not it. I'm telling you, they're not it. They got Russell Wilson, who's doing a great job. DK Metcalf, who's doing a great job. Tyler Lockett, who's doing a great job. But after that, they're nothing. They're absolutely nothing after that.
But the thing is, Russell Wilson is so much. If he doesn't, he's got to stop turning the ball over. Like, that is something that is just
odd. That's odd.
That is something that has really attacked him. I think, what are we at? We just finished game 8. I think you go through the first, let's see, that was game 8, 7, 6. Maybe you go through the first 5 weeks of the season. This dude's not turning the ball over at all.
No.
And now all of a sudden, he's slanging a rock all over the place. And he had 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions to go with his billion yards yesterday. But those 2 interceptions they're a problem. And that's something that tally has been kind of building up for Russell Wilson over the course of the last couple of weeks.
But see, here's the thing. The Russell Wilson is great traditionally at taking care of the basketball, taking care of the football.
See, you're thinking about Russell Westbrook. I almost did the same thing a minute ago because we're so conditioned to talk about Russell Westbrook and turnovers. We're not used to talking about
me. Hey,
I know his faults. Like, come on, man. I know his faults. We're not as used to talking about it with Russell Wilson.
But when you talk about Russell Wilson taking care of the football, traditionally he's been really good at it for the most part. But they're putting more on his plate. All this let Russ cook and all this other stuff, throw the ball. They are already just going to let him throw the ball recklessly anyway. But then when you combine that with the fact that they've lost so much in the run game, that puts even more on his plate. And the more you put on his plate or any quarterback's plate, it seems like outside of probably Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers, you're going to open them up for sack fumbles. You're going to open them up for interceptions. You're going to open them up for more inconsistent play when it comes to taking care of the football. And that's what we're seeing in Seattle. Not only are they opening up the playbook specifically for him, but there's a level of pressure to basically score every time down. Like that's how he probably feels. They're down in some of these games, so they're fighting back you know, things of that nature.
And that was the case here. They went down early.
Yeah. And he's just like, we're just going to sling that thing, you know, as many times as possible until we get back in it. And once again, defenses are pinning their ears back, getting right after Russell Wilson because they know there's no threat of the run game. Combine all those factors, he's starting to get a little loose with the football. And the thing, the interceptions, yeah, I understand that. The fumbles, the sack fumbles, those are things that you really don't ever see from Russell Wilson. So those Seattle's not it. They're not it, Damien. They're not it. No. Like, I can tell you right now, we got a question a little later on that we'll get into, but that's not a Super Bowl team by no means.
Yes, it is.
No. And no. Are you crazy? No. The defense is just god-awful. They're terrible. It's not a Super Bowl team.
Russell Wilson, 28 touchdowns on the year, 8 interceptions.
Still not bad at all, though.
It's not, but for context purposes, he's 3 away from matching his career high of 11 interceptions, which he threw in 2016 and 2017. So, you know, again, the MVP numbers in my eyes, 2,541 yards. He's on pace to the 5,000-yard mark, whether he makes it or not. You know, we'll find out. But 28 touchdowns, still on pace, you know, to put up massive, massive, massive numbers, which he's going to have to do for this team to win. Which brings up another question. Please forgive me. Excuse me?
That ship has sailed. He ain't no MVP. Not this
he
year.
Is the – I'm sorry, who is the MVP?
Pat Mahomes.
Pat Mahomes is a close second.
Stop it.
Russell Stop. Wilson is
Russell
the MVP.
Wilson ain't no MVP, no.
Russell Wilson is the
Absolutely
MVP.
Not.
Okay. All right. We'll find out soon enough. Forgive me for being the one to do this. Normally, this is your job to bring the San Francisco 49ers conversation into this. But I feel like with what we've seen over the course of the last couple of weeks, can you explain to your boy why the San Francisco 49ers offense was unable to move against Seattle? Every team that the Seahawks have played this year have had zero issues moving the ball on them. Even as Russell Wilson was leading like this mini comeback yesterday, I kept thinking, ain't no way, because you're asking the defense to make a stop, which is something they appear completely incapable of doing. If the Seahawks offense is in a position where they pretty much have to score every possession, Russell Wilson is in a position where he pretty much has to score every possession. You're just talking about playing from behind, playing down, Russell Wilson getting a little bit more reckless with the ball. They can't rely on their defense to do anything. Unless, of course, they're playing the San Francisco 49ers, where all of a sudden they're the 1985 Bears. Can you explain that to me?
Yeah, I mean, you're 100% correct, first of all. I don't know what that's all about. I think I got an idea of it, and I think it was a shift in philosophy for the 49ers. Like, there needed to be a shift in philosophy and game planning and how Kyle wanted to come into this game against the Seahawks, and he didn't do it. If you look yesterday in that Bills-Seahawks game, I'm looking here. The Bills ran the ball 19 times. Am I seeing that? Yep,
yeah,
ran the
it.
Ball 19 times for 34 yards, right? They passed
That's impressive.
It. Yeah.
Impressively bad, but impressive nonetheless.
Right. They passed it 38 times, right? And I think if I look in the first half, I'm not going to dive into those numbers, but I think Josh Allen probably had about 25 passes in the first half. They said, we know that you can't stop the pass. We're going to pass. I don't give a damn what the philosophy of the game is. You got to run to establish all this other. No, you can't stop the pass. We're going to pass on you relentlessly. And that's how they dominated him in the first half and continue to dominate him as the game went along. And then with the 49ers, it was two different things specifically. Number one, I thought Kyle didn't pass the ball enough early to get that thing going. And then the offensive line was god-awful for the 49ers that day. But there were, I mean, the epitome of what was going on in that Seahawks-Niners game, in my opinion, was that, what was that, 3rd and 5 in the first drive when that little Jet McKinnon, Brandon Ayuk, Wildcat thing, trash.
Yeah.
Drop back and throw the ball on these guys. They can't stop a nosebleed. Drop back and sling that thing. And that goes against what Kyle typically likes to do. He likes to dominate the game offensively starting with the run game. And I think that's where they kind of fell into something against Seattle.
So here's an odd stat to accompany everything you just said. Josh Allen, you mentioned 38 attempts, 31 completions. He was 31 to 38 yesterday, 415 yards, three touchdowns.
Wow.
The odd stat, he was sacked seven times. Mm. Now, on a stat sheet, it's like, yo, how was he sacked seven times? Well, he was moving around a lot in the pocket because he knew if he could buy himself a couple more seconds, that 5, 6, 7, 8 yard pass he was about to throw could probably become a 23, 24, 25 yard pass if he waited a couple of more seconds and chucked the ball down the field.
Yeah. I mean, he, and that's something maybe that Jimmy can't do. Probably even normally, but especially with a hampered ankle, he's not moving around the way Josh Allen was moving around yesterday.
Yeah, Josh Allen is he's had a really, really impressive year. Stephon Diggs was fabulous yesterday. I mean, the Buffalo Bills were fantastic. As Wade Phillips would say, the Seahawks won the second half, 24-20, but it was Buffalo up big early.
But Damian, you to your point and to what I was talking about earlier, you asked last week, why was Nick Mullins able to move the ball better than Jimmy Garoppolo was when he was out there against the Seattle Seahawks defense? Well, they threw the run game out the window, and they just start passing.
Yeah, right,
and
it
got into prevent or whatever on the one drive, but then, like you mentioned, the Seahawks went back to like trying to pressure and trying to blitz and stuff like, and they were still moving the ball because they threw the run game out the window and start passing that thing around. And I think if they play Seattle again in a meaningful situation, I think that's the way that they need to go. Like, just destroy this secondary and the linebacker in the
capable?
Secondary.
That's that, because they're going to play him again. I don't know if it's going to be meaningful or not. I think it's the last week
game
of the season.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to be meaningful or not. I don't know what the stakes of that Seahawks 49ers game is going to be, but
well, I think they're definitely more than capable. I mean,
are they?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Kyle's just got to get out of his own way. Kyle has a set. I'm starting to learn this about him. He has a way that he wants to go about things, and he doesn't really get off that. Now, that's the gift and the curse sometimes, right? Because sometimes you want somebody, you know, he's not going to abandon the run if they're getting 3 yards a carry. He'll let that run game flourish to the point where it'll be short gain, short gain, short gain, 80-yard touchdown. Like, you want that. But in some situations, when it's clear as day that this is how you beat them, Kyler Murray did it 2 weeks ago, just kind of sling that thing all the way around. The Seahawks have nothing in the secondary and nothing at the linebacker position when it comes to defending the pass. They're actually solid. They're actually not terrible against defending the run. Like, that's kind of the best thing they do on defense. They don't do it at an elite level. That's the best thing they do. But against the pass, I mean, it's blindfolding a cigarette against these dudes. And I think that's the way you got to – they have the weapons offensively. They have the weapons definitely to be able to do it. You know what I'm saying? If that game means something, you got to think – probably Jimmy and Kittle are back to go along with Ayuk, Richie James, and Deebo Samuels and Jordan Reed. Like, yeah, you got the weapons to be able to throw the thing around. Do it.
Okay.
But we're getting way ahead of ourselves. Niners could be 4-11 at that point.
Yeah, and I'm not sure that I'm prepared to call Jordan Reed a weapon yet.
Well, what do you mean I'm prepared to call him a weapon?
Come on. Let's calm down. Like, Jordan Reed had a good, like, half or game.
A half, and he got hurt.
Okay, well, it's the ninth game of the season. So
Jordan Reed is a weapon. Let's relax on you relaxing. He's a weapon. Now, how much of a weapon he is, he's not in the prime of his career or nothing like that, but he's definitely a weapon.
Okay, let's see how that plays out coming up here shortly. And we'll definitely preview the 49ers and the Seahawks, or excuse me, the 49ers and the Saints coming up here. We'll try to do it this hour at the top of the 1 o'clock hour. If you want to jump in and be a part of the show, 916-349-1320, 916-349-1320. Seattle's pass defense is the worst in the league, 362 yards per game.
Jesus.
For context, Atlanta is the second worst. They're 310 yards per game.
Oh,
so Seattle sucks by a long shot.
Yeah.
They are far and away the worst passing defense in the league. But, yeah, by all means, Kyle Shanahan runs the Wildcat offense against the Seahawks.
That was that. What are you doing, Kyle? What are you doing? When he did that I'm not going to say the game was, I didn't feel that way, but I was like, what are you doing? Just pass the, just run one of your good passes. Well, it don't have to be your best passing play. Run one of your good passing plays and get 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 yards and move the chains. What are you doing?
I can't lie, as embarrassed as I am to say it, that's really what was sticking out in my head yesterday watching the Bills just have their way with the Seahawks defense. Is like, wow, there's one team in the league that couldn't do it. To this point, there is one team in the league that couldn't do it, and it was the San Francisco 49ers.
Man.
You mentioned Kyler Murray a couple of moments ago. He had one of his best games as a pro yesterday, certainly one of his most accurate. 21 of 26, 283 yards, 3 passing touchdowns to go along with his 11 carries, 106 yards, and 1 touchdown on the ground. A complete package for Kyler Murray yesterday. Only thing, that little bow on top was actually an L. As the Miami Dolphins,
what's up,
Miami
Dolphins? Now you're on. You're under. Jesse didn't brought you on, huh?
No, I've been. Wait a minute. Hold on. I've been on for a while.
Well, you hadn't been on to this extent here, to where you calling them your Dolphins.
I have been on the Dolphins band. I've been trying to tell you for weeks that this isn't a bad football team.
Okay. All right.
That Brian Flores has got something going here, and people were a little worried. Oh, what do you? People, imagine this sentence. People were worried when they took out Ryan Fitzpatrick, and in comes Tua Tagovailoa, who had himself a nice little ball game yesterday as well. This was a great battle between two young quarterbacks, Kyler Murray and Tua Tagovailoa yesterday. But as Dolphins that walk away with the victory, any thoughts on this game yesterday besides how freaking incredibly entertaining it was?
I didn't watch this game. I didn't even have it on the red zone, so I wasn't thoroughly entertained the way everybody else was. But from the highlights, from the numbers, looked like it was a great game. I saw the last, I don't know, 4 minutes or so. Exciting, big plays made on both sides.
So you saw the only part that really got my I don't want to say the only part that got my attention. The whole game got my attention. But really, like, what are we going to dive in here and talk about? We could talk about the two young quarterbacks. We could talk about Tua Tagovailoa and the great game that he had. But really, what it all boils down to for me is that final possession for Arizona, when Cliff Kingsbury couldn't have possibly have called the game in a more conservative fashion. He had let Kyler go for 3 3/4 of a game.
Yeah.
And then, all of a sudden, on the final possession...
Well, hell, even the way that possession started off, you let that thing go. It was about 40 yards to Kirk on a post.
Right. And then they started, okay, we're within striking distance. Let's play for the tie. Let's play to go to overtime.
Yeah,
I don't feel
Kingsbury,
like he played to win that game.
I'm not a Kingsbury guy. He's done a really good job this year. He's done better than I thought he would this year. But, I mean, he's just not that dude to me. Like, he's really not that guy. But I will say this. I'm a stall him out just a little bit here, Damian. And I don't want to make it like I'm hating on the young fella, because he played a really good game. He's had a really, really good season. But Kyler Murray, 3rd and 1. The play's there. It's open. It's open as hell. And he just throws a ground ball to, I don't know who the receiver was, but Kingsbury drew up a nice little play to get the first down. All you got to do is hit him in the numbers. And Kyler just throws it straight at his feet. And then it forces them to take the long field goal. Field goal wasn't even that long. I don't know what's going on with their kicker. He was short from, what was that, 43? That's crazy nowadays in the NFL to be short from 43. I saw a guy in the Carolina game who
like
was way wide right.
Too.
Yeah, the Carolina game, way wide right, from like 65, I think it was. Mm-hmm. But he had the distance. Mm-hmm. And this guy's going to be short from 43? That's like being short from
49. It was 49.
Yeah, no excuse.
Still, it's 49. But
I say all that to say, Kyler had the game in his hands. And he's known to do this. He's known to – I kind of brought it up. He don't always throw the best ball. He throws a good deep ball. But those intermediate ones, they get a little sketchy from time to time. I'd say that's on Kyler, to be honest with you.
I mean, that's fine. But I don't look at it like it's not that. I mean, he missed it. He missed the throw. Like it's not the end of the world. It doesn't take away the incredible season, to me, the incredible season that he has. But
not at
and
all.
This is another one of those cliche things. when this season's over, if they miss the playoffs, man, it's going to be hard not to come back and look at this one. And God knows what's going to happen, you know, the rest of the season. I'm just looking at this game thinking, you get the big play to start. You really have an you're getting big chunks of yards with Kyler Murray. Be aggressive in your play calling. I know you're only down three, and the conventional thought is, well, get in position to tie. But, man, you have been fabulous at moving the ball the entire game. Don't stop now. Man. Don't stop now just because the clock is expiring. Look at it like you're down four. Push the ball. They're playing field goal range anyways. Push the ball down the field. You've been capable of doing it all day. Keep doing it. And I felt like Cliff Kingsbury chose not to.
I have a feeling, I'm not saying it's the right thing, but I have a feeling that Cliff kind of looked at it as, we need to start taking off some of this clock because I don't think we can stop the Dolphins if we give them too much time.
Maybe that's the case.
And that's probably why he pulled back a little bit. He probably looked at it as, if I can get this first down here, then maybe open it up a little bit. You know, I could take another minute and a half off or whatever the case may be. But it just seemed the way the game was going when I came into it that whoever had the ball last was going to win. That's kind of what it felt like.
Yeah. You know what Kyler Murray has done really well, particularly since the end of the second game of the season? He's done a really good job at avoiding getting sacked.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's been sacked 10 times on the season, but only 5 times since week 3.
Yeah, a little squirrel. That's what
it was
the Niners
a couple of weeks
last,
ago.
A little squirrel.
It was a couple of weeks ago when someone posted a video going, Kyler Murray just runs like the really big, awkward kid. And then you go and you look at the video of him running, and he's running incredibly fast. And yeah, he looks like the big kid. He looks like a giant kid who's faster than everybody else. And just he's almost showing off how fast he is by running awkwardly. And it's like, dude, I love Kyler Murray. I think
thought you were
going to
say the other one I heard where somebody said he runs like the badass kid. He runs like a badass kid.
He run like Bebe kid.
Right.
That's what he do. But I love Kyler Murray. But hey, this is good news for the San Francisco 49ers,
yeah,
as we mentioned.
Still alive. They're still in this
well,
thing.
Well, okay, let's dive more into that here in a minute, because we'll talk about that. We'll talk about them being alive, because the Rams didn't play this week, and guess who the Rams play next week? They play the Seahawks.
Yeah.
So no matter what happens, the 49ers, in that sense, they're going to feel good about it.
Kind of feel you'd feel a little better if the Seahawks won. I know it sounds crazy to say. But I'm looking at this as if the division is gone and you want to start staying close to these Cardinals Rams. So I got to cipher through it, but my first thought here is I need Seattle to win that game.
You need Seattle to beat the Rams?
Yes.
Okay, I'm fine. I mean, I'm fine with that. Yeah, I'm fine with that. I mean, again, I think you're in a good spot no matter what happens. But there's issues with this 49ers football team as they sit at 5
Absolutely.
Losses. And it's not just Raheem Mostert. It's not just the guys who have been inactive. It's not just COVID tests and all of that stuff. We'll try to outline that. But first, we've got to talk about their opponent this Sunday and what they did to Tampa and those dudes in the Bucs uniform on Sunday Night Football. So we've got that coming up for you, 916-349-1320 at D'Lo and KC on social media if you want to get asked. We're back with more here on Sacramento's number one sports station, ESPN 1320.
D'Lo and KC. D'Lo and KC continues on ESPN 1320.
Yeah, absolutely so thrilled that you're here with us. 916-349-1320 if you want to get with us on the phone lines at D'Lo and KC on Twitter as well. Running down a weekend in the NFL with the 49ers having played last Thursday and now gearing up for the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, man.
Who absolutely beat the crap out of the Tampa Bay Bucs last night in primetime on Sunday Night Football. What was that?
A beat down. That's what that was. A beat down.
They got beat down, beat up. They got beat. I mean, this game was never. It was 14-0 at the end of the quarter. It was 31-0 at halftime. It wound up being 38-3. Tom Brady was throwing interceptions all over the place. There was a Taysom Hill sighting. For God's sakes, listening to Chris Collinsworth talk about Taysom Hill was nauseating.
Finally, people are starting to feel the way I've been feeling. I've been saying it. Now people are starting to get on there and talk about it's getting ridiculous with the Taysom Hill. It's really ridiculous, man, as 15 used to say.
Okay, DeMarcus. that was good. You really channeled your inner DeMarcus Cousins with that one.
Well, help me out, though, Damien, because for full disclosure, I didn't watch most of this game. By the time I turned into it, I think it was 31-0. And I was like, oh, my goodness, I didn't see this coming. I look at the numbers. The numbers for the Saints don't really add up to the beatdown that they delivered. Was it simply Tom Brady just throwing pick after pick?
Yep.
Hmm.
Yep, it's pretty much as simple as that. He was turning the ball over, and it was, I mean, and Drew Brees was taking advantage of it. I mean, he threw four touchdowns yesterday, and they didn't have to be these long, you know, 8-9 minute sustained drives. They didn't need that. They didn't need that. Brady was awful yesterday. Brady was awful. Gronk was awful. Everybody in a Tampa Bay Buccaneers uniform was awful. Everything associated with that football team was awful. Like, they were bad. They even had fumbles that they you know, managed to recover. Like, they were just a complete disaster yesterday. And, you know, to New Orleans' credit, they took advantage of that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they took advantage of that awfulness. So it's not like Tampa Bay was bad and New Orleans didn't take advantage. No, every time Tampa Bay made a mistake, every time Tom Brady made a mistake, anytime anybody over there made a mistake, Drew Brees and that group took advantage of it. We even saw Jameis Winston yesterday.
Oh, my goodness. It was a Jameis sighting.
It was a Jameis Winston sighting.
Wow. Shout out to Jameis.
We saw three New Orleans Saints quarterbacks yesterday. Brees, your boy, Taysom Hill, and Jameis Winston.
Wow.
We saw a lot of Taysom Hill yesterday, by the way.
So, finish your thought, because I was just going to say,
I feel like Sean Payton was trying to showcase him on national TV so everybody would stop looking at him and going, you know what was really stupid? Taysom Hill. That was really stupid.
Sean Payton just...
And, of course, he had the perfect... And I like Chris Collinsworth. Like, I'm not one of those guys who hates Chris. I think he's a very good... But it was unwatchable last night, the way that... I need to pull... I don't want to misrepresent this too bad, so... I'm almost positive he said Taysom Hill was one of the most dangerous runners in the NFL. I might be wrong. Don't hold me to that. But he said something along those lines about him being one of the most dangerous runners in the NFL. So I'm gonna try to see if I can find that exact quote.
Because I probably would have tweeted something out.
Like, you would have broken your television by the time Chris Collinsworth was done talking about Taysom Hill. But go ahead, partner.
I just had to ask a question because I had to look at this three times to make sure I saw it right. And I don't know if you were still with the game at this point or you saw this point and it made you chuckle. But I'm looking in the background as I, you know, look at the numbers and stuff like that. They got highlights playing. And they showed a catch from Antonio Brown where he catches the ball, first down. He, you know, points forward for the first down. He's got the ball in his hand. He drops it, points for the first down, and, you know, letting everybody know, first down Buccaneers. It was 31-0 at the time.
Mm-hmm.
That really happened.
Mm-hmm. That's Antonio Brown. See, that's what he is.
See, I ain't even gonna lie to you. I ain't even gonna lie to you. He might be off my team if he did something like that. He might be off my team if I was the coach.
Okay.
Or at the very least, I'm pulling him out at that moment.
Okay.
And we having a talk.
Sergeant overreaction. Chill out a little bit. No,
the
I get
hell,
it. It's
hell
dumb. Like, I'm not denying that. That's dumb.
That's bad really vibes. Dumb. That's bad vibes. That's exactly what that is. Bad vibes. You getting hyped over your weak little first down catch when we getting smashed. And where were you when we were 31-0 down? Where were you at when we were 7-0 down?
Well, my quarterback was throwing the ball to the other team. That would probably be my first response. If I could get my quarterback to keep the ball on, you know, our side, then, you know, maybe I could do more. And I think
Fair
he had
point.
Three. I think Antonio Brown had three receptions, 31 yards yesterday. And then the 15 yard game that you're talking about there when it was 31-0. So, like, there's the fun stuff. So I did a quick search. I was trying desperately to find the quote. Maybe he didn't say it, Maybe I misunderstood what he said, but it's clear Chris Collinsworth's love for Taysom Hill got to a lot of people last night. Because when you search Chris Collinsworth on social media, that's pretty much what you're going to get is his uncomfortable attraction to the most dangerous runner in the game or whatever nonsense that he said last night.
I will say this, though.
I'm going to rewatch that game just to hear what he said because I know. Because it's one of those moments where you're doing something and you hear what Chris Collinsworth said and then you look at the TV like, did he just? No, he didn't.
Use the rewind button.
Just
at that
say
point.
That about Taysom Hill.
Yeah. I'm sure he did because I hear it all the time from people. It's just ridiculous. But look, the way the playoffs go, got the extra team, all this other stuff. There's a very real possibility that maybe these two teams meet up again, right, in the playoffs down the road. The combined scores this year, Saints versus Bucks, 72-26, New Orleans. I'm not sure Tampa Bay wants to see them again. Like,
okay.
Sometimes you get I know the Buccaneers players be like, yeah, we want all the smoke. We want to play them again. If I was a Bucs fan, I don't want nothing to do with the Saints again. We clearly can't beat them this year. We clearly have nothing for them.
So you're mailing it in?
I'm a Bucs fan, I don't want to see the Saints. I'm not saying my season's over. I'm saying I don't want to see the Saints. And if I come up against them in the playoffs, that's going to be a bad week. That's going to be a bad week for me.
Of course, because you don't want to face, and I quote, Taysom Hill is the most intimidating runner in the league.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, that is the quote from Chris
Derrick
Collinsworth.
What happened to what's my man's name, Dalvin Cook? I mean, it's all Taysom. This is why right here.
Intimidating runner in the game, Taysom Hill.
We got to stop this, Skip. We got to stop this.
My goodness. All righty. Let's move along here. Well, we know, Bucks, Saints, playoffs, whatever. What we do know is Saints, 49ers, 6 days from today.
Yeah.
Now, you just said if you were a Bucks fan, how you'd feel about taking on the New Orleans Saints. I need to know how you feel as a 49er fan. You're listening to D'Lo and KC on KIFM West Sacramento, a radio.com sports station and driven by Lasher's Elk Grove Dodge. I am Damian Barling. He is Kenny Caraway. We are so thankful that you are here with us. If you missed any part of today's show, if you missed the first hour of today's show, you can download the radio.com app in your app store. You could download it to your brand new iPhone. I know you're dying to add some apps to that. Search radio.com in the app store. Hit the download button. Register. It only takes a quick second. Search ESPN 1320 and hit the heart button. It is completely free, and we have got you covered there. And when this show expands to 4 hours, you don't want to miss a single second of it. And more specifically, when this show expands, by the grace of God, for only one day to 8 hours.
Let's go.
You are not going to want to miss that. It is 1 week from Wednesday. The D'Lo and KC Draft Marathon. 8 hours of NBA draft coverage. 8 hours of Sacramento Kings coverage right here on ESPN 1320. I know we're having a meeting about this after the show. Remind me to ask if at about 6 o'clock we can start pouring alcohol. I just want to be sure. 6 hours in, I want to know what the threshold is before we're allowed to pour our first drink.
It's going to be lit, man.
It's going to be something, and we're working all of the details out
and that's
right
probably,
now.
That's probably going to be D-Lo, KC, and friends that day. Any friend we have, they're going to be in the building that day.
It's going to be like an old-school Def Comedy Jam Marathon where you just invite everyone you know to join the show. I noticed Deuce and Mo have given me the cold shoulder since sending the text about them. I can't get them to respond. We wanted them to come on with us. We know Jason Jones is going to be busy that day. We'll get him on with us. We're working out some things with the Kings Herald right now. We would love to have them on. And when I say them, it's 8 hours. I mean all of them.
Come on.
Every single one of them.
Even the baby giraffe.
Especially the baby giraffe, who has a podcast here on the Be Heard podcast platform called Watching the Tape with Sanjay Singh. And you talk about draft guys. Man, those are two great draft guys to have on our show, which we absolutely intend to. Mm-hmm. It's 8 hours long. 1 week from Wednesday on draft day, and who knows what's going to happen before then. We'll get to that in a minute. We'll dive more into the NBA in just a minute, but I want to get back. I'm sorry, I just chuckled. Like, this alert just came up that says Stephen Jones says Mike McCarthy will be the head coach next year. Like,
yes,
of course
yes.
he will.
Let's go. Let's go,
gonna,
baby.
They're not going to admit they did anything wrong. They're not going to admit yes. how stupid they were.
Can't wait, especially since Harbaugh's probably going to be fired, so they won't hire him. Let's go. Niners going to beat the hell out of Cowboys again next year.
Okay. Don't try to steal my joy from me, because I'm going to bring up Harbaugh, and we're not talking about the Baltimore Ravens later on.
I'm ready. I'm ready.
But let's focus on the Saints. We just outlined what the Saints did to the Tampa Bay Bucks. We just outlined how dominant it was. You just said, if I'm a Tampa Bay Bucks fan, I don't want to see the Saints again and hear all the reasons why. You're not a Tampa Bay Bucks fan. Mm-hmm. You're a San Francisco 49ers fan. And the San Francisco 49ers got a 125 start next week mm-hmm. against the New Orleans Saints. They got the mini bye here coming off the 10 days rest. There's a belief that Raheem Mostert's going to be healthy. A belief. We don't have confirmation. We probably won't have confirmation until tomorrow or Wednesday. At least we'll get an idea of what his ramp up in terms of practice is going to be. We know Ayuk is good. Debo's good. We know that, Debo's good. They're good in terms of COVID diagnosis. We know Kendrick Bourne is good. All of those guys, Trent Williams, they'll be back. But is all of that enough to go against the team that we saw absolutely dominate, a team that you and I both had in our top five power rankings last week in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
I think it could be, and I'm not doing this simply as a homer. Look, I'm not putting any money or nothing on this game. It's a tough game to win. The Saints are also going to be looking, just like the Packers were last week, the Saints are going to be looking to get some get back. They're looking to feast on a depleted Niners team for what a lot of people feel was the game of the year last year in New Orleans, the Kittle, down to the 30 game, right? Like, they're going to be looking to get some get back, and they're also feeling good about themselves, so they're going to be trying to continue to stay right. I look at this situation, though, where the Niners will have their offensive weapons back. They do have the mini bye that they're coming off of. Mm-hmm. Kyle Shanahan has the real bye the next week. So I think he's going to come with everything he has in a game that is probably any kind of hopes of salvaging this season playoff-wise. It's on the line on Sunday. You got to figure out a way. I got my big picture that I've been saying for a long time since they were 3-3. Just go 6-4. That gets you to 8-8. 7-3 gets you to 9-7. I got my little mini picture. It's not a small picture, a mini picture. But remember what I said before the Seahawks game, Damian. I said, you got Seahawks, Packers, Saints. I don't care which one it is. You got to get one. You got to get one. They've gone 0-2. This is their last chance to get one. I think their season's on the line. I think they're going to be, we said this on Thursday, but I think they're going to be competitive. I think they're going to be ready to go and play with them, right? But it's one of those things again, though, Damian. Where they're going to have to be flawless. But they're going to have to be flawless. And Nick Mullins is the biggest concern for me. Nick Mullins and the defense. Those are the two biggest concerns for me.
See, I ain't doing that no more. I'm out of the 49ers predicting business. If they only do this, if they only do that, they have been all over the freaking place all year. And they have issues that range. Like, listen to what we just said. Kendrick Bourne, Brandon Ayuk, Debo Samuel, Trent Williams, Raheem Mostert, what do all five of those players have in common? They're all on the offensive end. Mm-hmm. Every single one of them. Their special teams has been non-existent all year. They haven't made one not a punt return, not a kick return, not a block punt, nothing. They've done absolutely nothing of significance in that phase of the game.
That's been forever, though, for now. I can't remember the last time they were explosive on the special teams unit.
The defense isn't bad. Last 2 weeks, notwithstanding, as Vince McMahon would say, notwithstanding. But overall, what impactful play has the defense made this year?
Like, if it hasn't been Fred Warner, it hasn't happened. Or Jason Verrett. Those guys have made plays. But with the defense, to me, it all comes back to that front four, I guess. But it's the whole defensive line. They haven't been able to do anything as far as getting pressure on any of the quarterbacks. And it's coming to bite them back in the ass these last 2 weeks. Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson picked them apart. And Drew Brees is definitely, we think he's the type of quarterback that can do that. Drew Brees, as much, like I said, because I didn't see it. I was like, man, Drew Brees must have came back and went off last night. Well, not necessarily. But he took advantage of opportunities that were given to him. But he definitely is the type of guy that can, if you let him do whatever he wants to do, yeah, he can pick you apart too.
He's the most efficient quarterback in NFL history, and he threw the ball 32 times last night. Like, this wasn't, what did we say Kyler Murray was earlier? 21 of 26, 20 of 26, somewhere around there. Drew Brees was 26 of 32. Like, he didn't make the same mistakes that Tom Brady made.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, he protected the ball. Like you just said it perfectly. He took advantage of the opportunities that they had. So you already have a quarterback who is incredibly efficient. You have a quarterback that isn't prone to turn the ball over. He has three interceptions on the year. Like, he doesn't turn the ball over. What are you going to be able to do if you're the San Francisco 49ers defense against that? Because no one to this point has done it. I know the Breeze. I know the Saints, outside of last night's game, which was on primetime, which was against Tom Brady, they haven't done anything that's really eye-popping this year. In fact, most people, I think, are looking at them the way that you are, like, like Drew Brees isn't. I believe you used that W word you like to use when referring to Drew Brees.
Yeah. Well, he's not all the way there, but he's getting close.
He's in the machine. He's getting ready to close the lid and hit the start button. Because, I don't see it. Like, he isn't that. 17 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. He's over 2,000 yards already. But when you're putting him against the defense that already doesn't make plays, when you're putting him against the front four that you just said, they don't put pressure on the quarterback. Mm-hmm. Dude, yeah, maybe Taysom Hill will be the most intimidating runner in the game next week, because you've got Drew Brees, who just picks apart every single defense that he plays, is incredibly efficient, doesn't get sacked a lot, doesn't turn the ball over. You got Taysom Hill, who God knows what they're going to do with him. The smartest thing that Sean Payton could do with them against the San Francisco 49ers is just to leave him on the freaking bench and let Drew Brees do everything. I don't know how to bring this back around with a big rah-rah and go, no, I think the 49ers, I think they can keep this competitive. I'm out of the business of saying the 49ers can be competitive. They've been blown out the last 2 weeks against the two best teams that they played. They haven't been competitive. They're getting all of these offensive players back, which they've had at periods throughout the year, but their defense, which has been fine, has not been able to make plays. I don't see how they're going to be able to make a play against Drew Brees, even with, and you just said this, and what was it, one game in like 20-something days? Because their bye is after this week. So they got 10, was it, is that 24 days? They got one game in the span of 24 days? Maybe you look more to the game after the bye, where allegedly D Ford is going to be back and allegedly Richard Sherman is going to be back. Maybe you look more forward to that one and you adjust your standings here a little bit that you created and go, all right, y'all got to win every game after the bye. Because that's the only way you're getting into the playoffs.
Well, that would still put them on par for what I said, but that's asking a lot as well. But you look at the schedule, and you talked about one game in 24 days or something like that. If there's any team in the league that needs just one game in 24 days, it's the 49ers. Like, a lot of teams like, oh, we need to get in rhythm and all this other stuff. We just need as many guys as we can get back, right? And they're doing that a little bit this week, right? Everything you said about going up against the Saints and what the 49ers have done the last 2 weeks against teams that are top tier or whatever, and why there's not a lot of optimism going up against the Saints, it's all correct. Like, I get it. 100% I get it. But you asked me what do they have in the way of possibly winning this game, and I just think that everything's going to be on the table. Like, Kyle, we say it every week, but he's going to have to be in his bag. Everything's going to be on the table. You're going to be playing a team in New Orleans where I think they're going to be focused either way, but let's put it to you like this. I'd rather them coming off a win than off a loss. You know what I'm saying? Does that make any sense?
No, it makes sense. I just...
They're going to be feeling themselves a little bit.
I don't think so. I don't think so. This is a team that has lost in championship games, in playoff games, in the most heartbreaking fashions imaginable. I don't think they're feeling themselves on anything anymore. I don't even know. I mean, I think this team is just focused on getting through the season. If there's anyone who can be one game at a time, which I know it's a cliche that a lot of people don't buy, but if there is any team that can be one game at a time, I think it's Drew Brees and the Saints. Yeah. And so, yeah, I don't know who the Saints play after the 49ers. I don't think it matters. I don't think there are trap games here. I don't think there's anything. I think the Saints are happy about their win last night. I think they've moved on from it, and they're looking at this game against the San Francisco 49ers going, okay, don't sleep on them just because they got guys out. Don't sleep on them because they're injured. Don't sleep on them because Jimmy Garoppolo and George Kittle's not there. Here's what we have to do. If Raheem Mostert is coming back, we've got to be ready for that. We know how they're going to utilize Brandon Ayuk. We know that they're going to play out of the backfield with Deebo Samuel a little bit. We've got to prepare for that stuff. I don't think this is a team that gets caught up in those types of things and starts feeling themselves at all.
Yeah.
They've been there too many times and have had their heart broken too many times. Like, they're 1 week at a time.
Oddly enough, we'll learn more about what I think about the Saints tomorrow on D'Lo and KC. Okay. But,
Oh, I feel you. Hey, I know. Yeah, I know where that's going.
You know what time it is. That's tomorrow.
I got you.
That's tomorrow.
Okay. Okay.
But,
okay.
But you know,
respect on my name.
You understand me? You know what I mean? But I don't know, man. The Saints, they're not the Saints of the past. That
five straight
was
wins.
Really terrifying. Not the Saints of the past. I don't see it from them like that. But they're obviously like a really, really tough opponent for the Kings. Basketball's on my mind.
I see you.
Here,
I got you.
It's on my mind. But they're really a tough opponent for the 49ers. Tall, tall task going into the Superdome. And like I said, I think the Saints are going to be looking to drive a stake through the heart of the 49ers. And they feel some type of way after what happened last year in the regular season. I really believe that.
Here's an odd stat. They've had three games decided by more than one score.
Who's that?
Two of them, the Saints. The Saints have had three games decided by more than one score. Two of the three were against the Bucks.
Yeah.
They beat the Bucks by 11 opening week one, 34-23. They clobbered them last night, 35-3. The only other team is the Raiders.
Yeah.
They beat the Raiders by 10.
Yeah.
Or no, they lost to the Raiders.
They lost
by 10.
To the Raiders.
So
by 10.
There's only two games. There's only two games that have been decided by one possession, and they're both they are by more than one possession. And it's
there's three. You're right. It's the Packers game. It was a 7-point game. They lost, but it was a 7-point.
But
game.
Okay, I should have said in games that they've won. But yeah. So it's just that's kind of a weird stat too. Is okay. What are the
That's what kind of goes into what I'm saying
here
a
little bit.
I'm not completely this. Like I said, this isn't your older cousins, New Orleans Saints. They're not that, right?
If you ask, wait, hold, stop. I'm sorry.
Your
older cousins, New Orleans Saints. Like, what Saints are we referring to?
I mean, they were dominant offensively. They had a really good defense. Obviously, they don't have the Superdome being this crazy place to go in and play
right.
anymore, even though they got some fans and stuff like that. But it's not the same right now, obviously. This is a team that's good. It's good. It's an above-average Saints team. But they can be had, man. They can be had. I don't think the defense is great or close to it. And I don't think Brees is the same Brees in the past.
What like defense? Sorry, go ahead.
Nah, I'm just saying. I don't think Brees is like. Maybe it's too early to say he's washed or anything like that. But he's not the same Brees. He's not.
Is there only one great defense out there? I don't even know that.
What defense is that?
Only one I'm thinking of.
You're thinking Pittsburgh?
That's the only one, and I don't even know that it's great.
I think Chicago's pretty good.
Okay, Chicago. Yeah, I guess Chicago's just marred by other.
Our buddy Rich will tell us that the Chiefs' defense is good.
Okay, that's fine. Chiefs. I don't think the Chiefs' defense is bad. In fact, the Chiefs' defense isn't bad. I've got questions. We need to dive into this more. Maybe the Colts defense is good.
Your boys.
No, I mean, not exactly my boys, but kind of. We'll step out. We'll come back. We've got NBA stuff we got to talk about. We need to revisit the Sacramento Kings city jerseys because I think I've got a slightly clearer view now.
Put some respect on their name.
Yeah, maybe just a little bit. And the craziness. I mean, what the upcoming 10 to 14 days might look like for the NBA is going to be something extraordinary. And we'll talk about that as D'Lo and Casey continue here on Sacramento's number one sports station, ESPN 1320.
Now back to D'Lo and KC. D'Lo and KC on ESPN 1320.
Absolutely. You mentioned Rich there a moment ago, and right on cue, he gave us Chris Collinsworth's MVP rankings. He has Taysom Hill at 1 through 5 as the best running back, wide receiver, quarterback, punt returner, and kick returner in the National Football League.
Dylan. He spits hot flames.
That would be that's solid work right there. How many times have you seen Making the Band, just out of curiosity?
The actual show?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I rewatched it after I watched it again. I've seen clips and stuff like that, but I just watched it the one time, but when it was on, like, I was on it. Like, I love that show.
I'm sure everybody knows this by now, given the Saturday Night Live appearance, but Chappelle's show is streaming on Netflix, I think, for the first time.
Mm.
And so I dug into it. I have not seen that. I haven't seen those skits in a while.
And Comedy
they
Central.
Still work.
Yeah, they definitely do. They Comedy Central work. Runs the Chappelle show fairly often, and I come across it. And like you said, it still hits, man. It still hits, man. It's some funny stuff.
What did you see Chappelle on Saturday Night Live?
I haven't seen it yet. I got it on the DVR. For whatever reason, I haven't gone back and watched it yet. But I heard that boy was on fire.
The wait for it was pretty spectacular. Like, yeah. It was because, you know, the Notre Dame-Clemson game ended, and we'll get to that here in just a heartbeat. And they said, okay, going to Saturday Night Live or late local news or whatever. And my guide screen said it would come on at, like, it was like 10:00 something or whatever. It was like, okay. And then, like, 5 minutes go by, 10 minutes go by, 15 minutes, 20 minutes go. It's not on yet. And you go to social media and the collective world is losing their mind because Saturday Night Live hadn't started, particularly here in California. But it was good. Chappelle is he's different. Like, he's just different. And some of his humor is uncomfortable.
Right.
And so, you know, I think his last line just didn't hit the way I hoped it would. But he was phenomenal, as he always was. The Aunt Jemima Uncle Ben sketch that followed the first commercial break was extraordinary.
Oh,
like, that'll be played on SNL clips forever. Like, it was absolutely fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. As we believe, the next couple of weeks are... Okay, real quick, before we dive into the NBA news, I got to issue a my bad.
Okay.
The Sacramento Kings city jerseys. When you tagged me originally, say, hey, what do you think of these in a Twitter photo? It was like kind of a grainy, no number. I told you I thought the red was orange. It looked like an Oklahoma City Thunder jersey to me. I was like, this is trash. Like, what does this have to do with the Kings? Like, I do not like this at all. Well, they officially released them today, and I saw a more high resolution picture, if you will, of what the jerseys look like. And my bad,
they're fire.
They're pretty clean.
They're fire.
I wouldn't go so far to say that they're fire.
No, they're fire.
They're clean. They're a million times better than the red jerseys. Like, immeasurably better than the red jerseys.
They weren't that bad.
They were bad.
People treat the red jerseys like they're the gold jerseys. Like, they're not.
Second.
They're not.
They're second. I know gold is gold by a long shot.
Yeah.
But
gold is
the
Seattle Seahawks defense compared to the Falcons defense. Like, gold is last, they're really far away.
And the red is the Falcons defense. Like, that's where it is. It's bad. Now we're measuring the different levels of bad that those red jerseys were for the Sacramento Kings. The bottom line is they weren't good, but I like these new ones. I like them. Honestly, I would just I would really love to see the Kings wear purple again. I know that's ancient and archaic at this point. I'd really love them to see, you know, purple, maybe the whites with the purple. Or if you want to rock something special, do the royal blues, because that's pretty much untouchable.
I got to be honest with you. Maybe I'm in the minority here. I wouldn't be mad if they did something with the baby blues.
I'm okay with that, too.
I just think that's...
I'm okay with that, but that, I like that royal pops. Didn't you have a royal...
Oh, no, it goes hard. Yeah, I got the hoodie.
Oh,
it goes hard. The royal goes hard. The jerseys are dope. Like, the royal... You can make an argument that they might need to go back to the royal. Like, after we saw them last year, like, those go hard in the paint.
I'm okay with that. I'm completely okay with that.
I got to ask you, Damien, and knowing you as much as I do, I think I know the answer. You wouldn't go get a city jersey at all. You're not a jersey guy, are you?
I'm not a jersey guy, no.
I really want to get a jersey, right? But I'm to the point now, especially in basketball, because I played and for whatever reason, I'm still competitive about it. I kind of have a hard time getting what essentially it looked like to me is these kids' jerseys, right? Like De'Aaron Fox is, what, 21, 22?
Mm-hmm.
What am I doing running around with De'Aaron Fox on the back of my... I'm a grown man, and I'm not typically like that, right? Like, I'll go get a... I don't know. If Odell Beckham went to the Niners next year, I'd get an Odell Beckham Niners jersey, right? And not even really think twice about it. Something about basketball. But I don't know, man. I don't know. I might have to cop one of these. Because I like the idea of wearing a jersey, though. I do.
Okay.
So yeah, I'm on the fence. For me. I'm on the fence.
You know, I don't really have – I don't think I have team apparel of any sorts of any team. When
we
I divorced
need,
the Cowboys,
49er,
I sent
gear.
All that stuff to Goodwill. I don't look good in red.
Poor
so
Goodwill.
Don't send me any – yeah, right? Yeah. So don't send me any 49er stuff.
Need you? We need to be teamed up on 49er Friday.
Okay, let's not. Let's not.
Another question about this Kings jersey, though. What do you think about the last name on the bottom of the number?
I don't care. It's fine. Like, you're doing something different. Like, it's fine. Yeah. I just hope, like, it got to a point where the city jerseys are, they call them, like, alternative jerseys. They're not the alternative anymore. You're wearing them all the freaking time.
Yeah, I think there's, like, a month where they're, like, wearing them all month long or something like that.
And it's like, yeah, let's just rock white and purple. Like, those are the Kings colors. Let's rock the black and the purple. Black, let's do that. Like, that's what the Kings colors are. And
with that,
I want to shift to the NBA, but we do need to bring you some news. The Steelers were informed this morning that a player has tested positive for COVID-19. So the first L on the Pittsburgh Steelers season is because of COVID-19. The player was immediately self-quarantined, and the organization continues to be in the NFL's intensive protocol. So here's how you know you're being fed a line of BS. Find me a statement from a team or a coach that doesn't include the term NFL's intensive protocol. That's a buzzword that the NFL has every single one of their teams use when they issue a statement like this. Find me one that doesn't include that term, intensive protocol.
I'm pretty sure you can't do it. I mean, I think the NFL probably writes these emails for them and it just says fill team name in here and all this other stuff.
Yeah, put this on company letterhead, fam, and let's get it out there to the world. Okay, we wanted to mention that. So we're actually going to talk more about the Pittsburgh Steelers coming up here in just a couple of minutes, and not in the most glowing way. They're the only league's only undefeated team. But I got a question for our boy, for our guy, particularly your guy, and you've brought him up every single week for the last. I think you've brought him up. Let's see, we are on
probably
show.
Since Nick Bosa.
We're on show number 61. You've probably brought Mike Tomlin up on 58 of them.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
We need to have a conversation about what he did yesterday against the Dallas Cowboys. But the city jerseys notwithstanding, we're in for a really, really exciting few weeks of NBA news, notes. There are rumors. There are at least conversations that perhaps, maybe, free agency could start as soon as this weekend. There was a push, and if I believe the push was by the players to get free agency started as soon as possible, because the belief being, with the draft being next Wednesday, if you start free agency, and the common belief is it would start the Friday after that, so 2 days after that, you get to start on, I think that's the 20th. You run through that weekend, and now you're bleeding into Thanksgiving, you're bleeding into holidays, and then after the holidays, it's almost time to return to training camp, or it's almost time to report to training camp. And I think there are some players concerned that, man, this is too short of a window to really get our affairs in order and prepared to get back to basketball after, for some of us, just ending basketball a couple of months ago.
Yeah. Look, this is about to be crazy. This is really about to be crazy, and I love it. I absolutely love it. I was listening to some stuff over the weekend, and they were talking about, you know, the season getting started with the free agency and transactions or whatever. And it's not just that. Like, they talked about, like, there are some major decisions that teams have to make that, like, could impact the entire league. So, for instance, OKC, what is OKC going to do? Mm-hmm. Like, number one, they're going to get rid of Chris Paul. Like, he's not coming back. So they're going to get rid of him. Do you get rid of Steven Adams? You know, what do you do there? There's a lot of people who are up for extended, the rookie extension. Someone as random as like a Lauri Markkanen. Well, do you extend him? If not, do you move him in this 7-day window? Like, a lot of craziness is going to ensue.
That's all good and fine. Do they have a head coach?
They do. It's Billy Donovan, isn't it?
No. Billy Donovan is not Oklahoma City's head coach.
Oh, Lauri Markkanen's on Chicago. That's why I said.
Oh, I thought you said Oklahoma. I did.
I started
Oklahoma
with City. OKC, but then I went to Chicago. But no.
Go back to OKC. Do they have a head coach? I don't think they do.
I don't think they do at all. There's like a week.
Y'all might want to knock that out here. y'all might want to. Yeah. Hey, Nevada, wrap it up. Come on, guys. Let's
hey,
get
Nevada.
This done. Nevada is the new term for someone being late. Like we've just had to determine that as Nevada is the new, that's the new, you're
that really is crazy
too slow.
That they do not have a head coach.
They don't have a head coach, man. They
Come
are
on,
moving
man.
Way. They we're taking our time. Like, all right, fam, the season finna start here in a minute. y'all want a coach in the draft? Draft
but
is
little stuff like
Wednesday.
That. So, like, for instance, Chicago's like, not really feeling Lauri Markkanen, man. We're ready to move on. I mean, that might be a trade partner for the Kings. People talk about Miles Turner, but Victor Oladipo. Yeah. Like, these are some pretty big chess pieces. Drew Holiday was mentioned, you know what I mean, as a potential trade piece. Yeah. So there's a lot going on. I got a quick little experiment for you. And I'm not going to hold you to it. We know nothing about Monty McNair. We know nothing about
the
NBA.
Love experiments
right now.
On the radio. What could go wrong?
Just give me a yes or no if you think this person is going to be back.
Okay.
Buddy Hield.
Yes.
Bogdan.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
Kent Bazemore.
No.
Harry Giles.
No.
Alex Lynn.
No.
Okay.
Mm-mm. I don't see a way Harry Giles can be back just by it. It's almost impossible.
Well, he would have to agree to take a little less money and take a chance on the franchise, really.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, you got to. I want to be careful how I use the term coveted. I think somebody would, and I'm not talking about Harry Giles is going to make $10 million next year, but I think there are teams that would love to have Harry Giles, and maybe Monty does go to Harry and go, hey, man, we see a lot in you. The last guy blew it. If you give us a chance. So here's another, I was going to say it's a question. It's not a question. I'll make a statement. I would like for you to react to it.
Mm-hmm.
I think we see a lot of one-year deals.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up, like, or you know, like one and ones, one with a player option.
Yeah.
I think we see a lot more one with a player option, one plus ones, than we do one with a team option. But I think we see a lot of really, really short-term deals being signed here in the coming weeks when free agency gets underway.
No, absolutely. And especially in a situation like this where, you know, it could just be as simple as, like, you know, I'm going to just use Kent Bazemore as an example. I like my time here. I'm not really sure what's going on with the league as far as trying to sign a 3-4 year deal somewhere. I'll take a 1-1 here and figure it out after, you know, this whole thing settles down with how this season goes, and then look for possibly a longer term deal somewhere else. I can see a lot of that going on as far as 1-1 year deals.
Adrian Wojnarowski wrote about how health officials around the NBA are really concerned about this upcoming 72-game regular season, with training camp starting on December 1st. They're concerned about a number of things. They're concerned about starting games December 22nd after such a short offseason. They're concerned about travel and how that's going to play into the NBA during the COVID-19 pandemic. For the very first time in the pandemic in December, is in a far, far different place than it was in July. Mm-hmm. It's in a far worse place than it was in July and August when teams went to the bubble. And that's, you know, that's the other thing. They're not in a bubble.
Yeah.
They're going to be in their home markets. They're going to be practicing at home. They're going to be traveling. And traveling, you know, the traveling I'm not as concerned about, because you can, obviously, you really have to trust your hotel partners.
Yeah.
You have to trust your, you know, your flight attendants. But normally you have kind of a, you have the same plane, flight crew. Like, that's normally pretty much the same. The bigger concern is, and I, you know, it's players being at home, players being around friends, players going out, even simple tasks, players going to grocery stores, players going to, you know, shopping, doing things like that, getting to L.A. and going out to various places that in L.A. are open, or, you know, Florida. Florida ain't even got a pandemic. They just hanging out, getting out in the South Beach and seeing what happens. Man. Boy, South Beach flu going to have a whole new meaning in 2021. Right? So, you know, the health officials who are tied to the league are like, yeah, we're extremely concerned about this, but it's, and stop me if you've heard this phrase this year, it's uncharted waters, and it's just something we're going to have to try to navigate.
That's exactly what it is, and I'm trying to keep everything in perspective and realize, look, we're still in a pandemic. People get sick from this. People lose their lives from this. People aren't the same after this. But there's the reality of the situation is, I hate to even say it like this, but everybody's doing it, right? Like, everybody's doing it. And that doesn't make it right. No, I mean, like, all the leagues, not like people going out. But all the leagues are doing it. Baseball did it. College football's doing it. NFL's doing it. And yes, there are positive tests, and they have to navigate around that. But everybody in the sports world is doing it. And
Tom Izzo, by the way, tested positive for COVID-19 today.
Man.
Season ain't even started. College basketball season has not started. I think that's a couple of weeks away as well. I think it's less than 3 weeks away, maybe about 2 weeks away. Yeah, Michigan State head coach Tom Izzo tested positive.
But I say that to say they're probably thinking we're just going to have to navigate through it, like you said. We're not going to not have positive tests. This ain't going to be like the bubble. We're going to have positive tests. Players, coaches, team officials are going to test positive for this. We've got to be prepared to navigate it. Would you say the NFL's done a good job?
No, I would not.
Like, aside from the fact that – but look, aside from the fact that we don't – like, at its core, they probably shouldn't be playing, right? Like, I think we both believe that. But they haven't lost any games to it. There hasn't been this like spread that shut down the league. They've had people that caught it. Titans were close, but being fair, have they managed it about as well as you possibly can?
So here's what I'm basing that on. And this is probably isn't fair on my part and is a better question to ask at the end of the season. You mentioned the Titans.
Mm-hmm.
If what happened with the Titans, remember, who weren't punished. Meanwhile, the Raiders have been fined. I've lost track of how much money they've been fined. And they lost the draft pick, correct. John Gruden's bank account, even on a $100 million salary through 10 years, is getting lighter. Mm. If the Tennessee Titans situation, which happened in weeks two,
I want to say it might have been a little more than that, like three
maybe
or four.
Okay, that's fine. If the Tennessee Titans situation had happened in week 14, 15, do you think any games would have been moved? with bye weeks running out, bye weeks essentially gone here at this point, do you think games would have been moved in the manner in which they were moved when the Titans, you know, had this influx of positive tests?
I think the league would have been moved.
My answer is no on all fronts. Nothing would have happened. It would have been brushed aside.
So you think they would have forfeited the games?
They would have figured out a way to make it play.
Hmm. See, I think in that situation, like if it does happen in late December, I think they just push the whole league back 1 week.
Well, now maybe they do because there's this plan. There's this contingency plan to... They have the NFL has acknowledged, I think, for the first time, if we have to go to an 18th week, we will. If it goes beyond an 18th week and we have to cancel, quote, a meaningful game, we'll create a 18 game or is it a 16 team playoff scenario?
Yeah.
And so that's their plan to create more playoff games. What does more playoff games mean for the NFL?
More money.
It means a whole lot more money. So I'm not going to look at any changes they make moving forward as, okay, they're trying to do the right thing. Because the fact of the matter is, if there was ever a game that should have been canceled, it was Thursday.
It was
last Thursday. The Green Bay Packers versus the San Francisco 49ers. If there was ever a game that should have been canceled, it should have been that one. Even the Raiders, John Gruden, he was upset a couple of weeks ago when his whole offensive line. Trent Brown, by the way, he's out for God knows how long. Man. They're claiming this has nothing to do with COVID, but I find that really freaking hard to believe. Right. This dude gets COVID, then they try to insert an IV in him. They nearly kill him. They send him to the hospital, and now he's out for the next month. Meanwhile, that whole offensive line was convalescing from COVID-19 or contract tracings of COVID-19, and that game didn't get canceled.
Yeah. Look, we feel like they're handling it wrong. But the season is gone. We're doing 2-hour shows on it all the time. They essentially haven't skipped a beat. If I'm being fair, I gotta term what the NFL has been able to do as a success.
Okay. I mean, that's fine. I just don't. I don't think it's been – because I think they've gotten to the point where and maybe if you had asked me this 1 week ago today, I'd feel differently. But that game having been played on Thursday, I just can't – they're just trying to get through it. That's how I see it. And if it's 4 guys missing, 5 guys missing, 10 guys missing, if we can't do – as long as it's not Brady, Breeze, Rodgers, Mahomes – insert marquee quarterback here. As long as it's not one of those guys, we can make it work. Once it falls into one of our marquee players, we've got to step in and do something. And as long as those players can avoid that, I think the league will avoid shutting anything down or moving anything off.
True. Very true.
So, I mean, maybe, I don't know. Maybe I'm being too hard on them, but I don't believe that they've done a good job. And I don't know how, you know, the NBA has a lot more time to play with, but I was listening to the president-elect this morning talking about COVID-19, and he's like, we're entering. It's bad now. Mm-hmm. It is really, really bad now. It's the worst it's ever been right now.
Mm-hmm.
And as the NBA is getting ready to start, we're entering, these are his words, we're entering the darkest time of this pandemic that we're going to have. That's right as the league is about to start. That's right as about the league is going to travel for the first time. That is right as the league is going to play within their home arenas. And it doesn't have to do with fans. It just has to be not being in a isolated environment like they had in Orlando. They're starting their season in the most dangerous time that this pandemic has had over the course of the last 8-9 months.
Well, with that being said, join us next Wednesday as we get ready for the NBA draft and the NBA season about to come.
Hey, we're going to be talking about it until they tell us it's not happening.
Right.
Until they tell us it's not happening, man, we're going to be talking about it. And until they cancel NFL games, we're going to keep talking about that. And as long as people keep testing positive, we'll keep telling you who's testing positive. For those of you that are gamblers who are fantasy players, we'll do our best to keep you updated because it's a fluid situation. We don't know what Pittsburgh Steeler tested positive, and it might not matter. Right. We might not find out because at the rate we go, I got a question for you. Okay, you know what? Let's just go here and I'll ask it.
Damian Barling, Kenny Carraway, 4 topics, 2 arguments, no winners, 1-on-1. D-Lo and KC.
Nearly 10 million people tuned in to NBC on Saturday night to watch Notre Dame score their biggest win in recent memory. They beat Clemson. Quick question, unrelated to the one-on-one question.
Mm-hmm.
Trevor Lawrence didn't play.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
COVID.
COVID. Trevor Lawrence didn't play because of COVID. Where was Trevor Lawrence during the game?
On the sidelines. Don't ask me why. If that was the third question, don't ask me.
Okay. I just thought if my man can be on the sideline, can't he play?
What was Dabo doing? What are you doing? That was crazy. That was crazy to see him. And I like kind of did a double. Like, it took me two times before I kind of, it all came together for me. Like, I saw him one time. Oh, there's Trevor Lawrence. Saw him again. Oh, there's Trevor Lawrence again. Wait a minute. He had COVID, right? You know what I'm saying? I'm like, wait a minute.
Yep.
What's going on here?
Just out here hanging out. Man. Kicking it. Don't mind me. Just watching football. Like, at that point, you had to have been desperate if your dad, but like, hey, he's standing out here on the sideline in a mask. What if he just plays in a mask? Can I have my quarterback out there? They didn't. We all saw the game. It was absolutely a wild one. But Notre Dame beat Clemson. What does that mean?
First of all, don't know if Trevor, as great as he is, could have played much better than DJ played on Saturday.
DJ was
a bad man. So we've talked about this on and off the air. I'm a little more into college football than you are this year. And I understand why you're not, because it's really disjointed. I mean, before we came on the air, you're talking about Alabama, LSU, that's supposed to be on Saturday, in jeopardy already, right? And you got to deal with this every single week. Utah didn't play in the start of the Pac-12 schedule, all this other stuff. So I understand where you're coming from. But I looked at this past Saturday, and it really felt like, it almost felt like old times with a Saturday, a fall Saturday, big games, Clemson, Notre Dame, number one versus number four. I mean, we can get into them storming the field and all this other stuff, but I was prepared for there to be no fans in the stands, and it was a little like, I was like, oh, that's not really going to be fun. And then I didn't know. I turned on the game, and they're packed. Like, they let the student body in there, and they're making noise, and it felt like a real game. It felt like a real college football game. So I said that to answer your question and say, it means that Notre Dame could make the college football playoffs here, and that would be huge.
Horrible.
For college football.
Oh, sorry.
It'd be huge for college football.
It would be horrible for anybody who wanted something competitive.
So
Notre
you don't
Dame
think
sucks. Everything about Notre Dame is, you know what Notre Dame is? You know how you said, oh, who did I say stinks? I said someone stinks. And you're like, hey, they don't stink. That's harsh. I don't even remember stinks. Who it was. And we determined that trash was below stinks.
Yeah.
Notre Dame is right in the middle of stinks and trash. That's where they are. They're the most overrated college football program on the planet. They won this game. Great. It destroyed Clemson's perfect record for whatever this stupid season is going to look like. And ultimately, Notre Dame is going to cough something up later because they don't have to play anything meaningful except the one game a year that they got to get up for. And here they are. It is less than meaningless. Notre Dame winning a meaningful game is less than meaningless because the fact that they won has now made it all useless.
Yeah, see, I don't feel that way about this.
The game remaining is against North Carolina.
North Carolina beat the hell out of Duke on Saturday.
Did you know North Carolina? Did you hear what you just said?
They beat the hell out of Duke on Saturday.
North Carolina
at one point was ranked number 5 in the nation.
North Carolina played Duke in a football game. And I like Coach Cutcliffe there.
But they do that every year.
Well,
regardless of the pandemic.
And yearly. No one cares. North
Remember
Carolina
the one year Duke was actually pretty good?
Yeah, Coach Cutcliffe is a fantastic coach. Duke ain't gonna win. Come on, man. Duke can't get Duke can't
Mac
recruit
Brown.
The same athlete.
Mac Brown got them boys cooking at Chapel Hill. Let's go.
Hey, it's a cute matchup of Coach Cutcliffe versus Mac Brown. But give me a break. That is get that out of here.
Notre Dame
they got
winning
Boston College this week.
Notre Dame winning matters. Now, if you remember,
it only matters because they don't have to play anybody else. But once we get to the college football playoff, they're gonna lose by 50 in the first game.
Did you say Notre Dame has Boston College next week, or is that North Carolina?
No, Notre Dame has
Wow.
Boston,
this is crazy.
Yeah, Notre Dame has Boston College, then North Carolina, then Syracuse. Wait.
This is crazy, Damian, because I remember this was like one of my introductions to college football, 1993, the game of the century. Number two Notre Dame against number one Florida State, Charlie Ward. Was it Ward Dunn? I don't know if Ward Dunn was there or not. But Charlie Ward was definitely there. And that was the game of the century in South Bend. Notre Dame knocks off number one Florida State. I think that was the last time they ever beat a number one team in the nation when they beat Florida State. The very next week, I think it was, Notre Dame, number one in the country, loses to Boston College. Will history repeat itself, Damian?
Yes. It's going to repeat it. Like this. Yeah. I don't like Notre Dame, in case you can't tell.
I don't tell.
Brian Kelly.
I didn't know this about you, partner.
They're overrated. Every year, woo over Notre Dame, woo over Notre Dame. Trash.
Okay. All right.
Trash.
Well, they're going to be the number one team in the nation, bro.
No, they are not. So what happened
is, they just beat number one. Why? They're number four. They just beat number one. Why wouldn't they be number one?
Because they're just not good enough to be number one. So the question was, why does Notre Dame, what does Notre Dame beating Clemson mean? And the answer is nothing. It means absolutely nothing.
It means they're going to be the number one team in the nation. And they'll probably make the college football playoff.
And it won't even matter, because with Clemson, they'll be like, well, Trevor Lawrence wasn't there. Who cares that the quarterback threw for
Clemson's going to make it again. We may see the rematch in the college football playoffs. That's what may happen.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
Let's leave from college football, because Damien is just getting upset with any more Notre Dame mentions. All right, we're going to leave from there.
Oh, we're going back to college football. Don't think just because this show is ending, we're not going to get in one more college football reference, but go ahead.
Well, you know, that's for me, because I love me some college football. But I'm going to go to the NFL. And not only am I going to get away from college football for a second and spare Damien any more college football takes, I'm going to give a shout out to our super producer, my main man, Jesse. Tua time in Miami was on center stage. As we mentioned earlier, the Dolphins beat the Cardinals. What was it, 34-31 in Arizona?
Yep.
Damien, are the Dolphins for real? And I mean like for real, for real.
They're real enough. That's my answer.
Real enough.
They're real enough.
The Dolphins making the playoffs?
I like it's close. Dolphins, Raiders.
Is that what it would come down to?
I think so. Ooh. I think so. I don't want to say I really like the Dolphins. I like Tua. I had always felt this team had a little something there. I've kind of been talking about them all year. Brian Flores, I'm with it. They're building a little something. What does that ultimately wind up as? I don't know whether to go with – if they're for real, you're talking about making the playoffs. That means they beat out the Raiders. The Raiders' schedule. I don't think they make the playoffs. I think that honor goes to the Las Vegas Raiders. But I like this Miami Dolphins team.
So I think both get in. As I'm looking at this thing right now, I think both get in. You got – we'll just go this way. You got Bills, Dolphins, Steelers, Ravens, Titans, Colts, Chiefs, Raiders. One of those will be out, and I think it'll be the Colts.
Okay. All right. That's fine.
So I think if anything, it comes down to, and I guess I'm just kind of dismissing the Browns, who have the same 5-3 record. So maybe you can throw the Browns in there too. But yeah, I don't think the Dolphins are as good as the Raiders, but I think they're better than the Colts, and I think they're better than the Browns.
Ooh.
I don't know though. Is it Raiders Dolphins?
It's Raiders Dolphins in Las Vegas, December 27th.
That's going to be a big one.
Come on, man. Chargers. They got the Chargers coming up. They've got the Broncos, Jets coming up. They've got the. So, you know what's funny is these teams who are in playoff contention, I don't know what the Indianapolis Colts schedule is, but I know that we have talked with Marshall extensively about the Browns, like the Browns or the Raiders, which one of them is going to wind up making the playoffs. You throw the Dolphins into the equation, all three of those teams play the Jets. So that's a plus for all of them. The Chiefs are on the Dolphins schedule. Obviously, they've got the Patriots. They've got to deal with the Bills again. But that Raider game, my goodness, coming up on December 27th, week 16, the Raiders and the Dolphins, that could be for a playoff spot.
And you know who doesn't play the Jets? The Colts. Colts aren't going to make it. The Colts got Titans, Packers, Texans will be a win. Raiders, Texans again. Steelers, Jags. So yeah, let's just say they got 1, 2, 3.
Philip Rivers
they got
will
three
be,
wins.
Philip Rivers will be bored by then. Mike Tomlin. By the way, we mentioned the positive test with the Steelers. What we didn't mention, the team is 8-0 right now. They're the only undefeated team left in the National Football League. And you and I both love Mike Tomlin, but 43 seconds left and a chance to put the Steelers up 8. He went for it. He tried to get the first down, and he didn't get it. And he gave the Cowboys and whoever the hell their four-string quarterback is an opportunity to go win the game. And by the way, they fell just short with a shot at the end zone. My question to you is, are analytics going to ruin football too?
Probably.
We saw Mike Zimmer do this earlier this year with a chance to go up 8 and said, nah, I'll just go ahead and try to go for the first down, not get it, and then wind up losing. Now, tragic. The same fate didn't lead to Mike Tomlin and the Pittsburgh Steelers with their first loss, but I don't, this does not hit me as a Mike Tomlin move whatsoever.
No, man, they got to stop with this, man. They really got to stop with this. Let's just go back to coaching. Let's go back to managing the game and not the numbers, not the spreadsheet. I'm not saying never look at that. I'm not saying that. I'm not, like, because anything is analytics, right? Like, passing yards a game, that's technically analytics, right? You know what I'm saying? But let's just stop relying completely on the chart.
You know who I would do that against? I would do that against the Chiefs.
Right.
I would do it against the Seahawks.
Right.
What was the dude's name? Gilbert? I am not doing it against a quarterback named Gilbert who's playing in his first game of the year.
He might be the next Romo. That boy was balling.
I thought kind the other guy was the next Romo.
No. He's gone. This is the new next
DiNucci,
Romo.
You said DiNucci, he was the next Romo.
No. Gilbert, he's the new next Romo.
Okay. Stop soiling Tony Romo's name by adding it to these damn Dallas Cowboys quarterback.
I got one more for you here. We're going to stay in the NFL. Halfway through the season.
Yep.
What's your Super Bowl? Who's your Super Bowl winner?
What was it? Chiefs, Seahawks?
Yeah.
Chiefs 49. It hasn't changed one bit. Why would I change it?
Seahawks definitely aren't making it. But for me, I'm going to go Chiefs, Saints. I think I had Ravens, Niners in there. Got Chiefs, Saints.
Wow. One, you're abandoning the Ravens.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And the Saints.
As of today, they look like the best team in the NFC.
Wow.
And I don't even think they're that good. All right. That's the crazy part.
I'll spare you as we got to wrap up here, and we're headed to Damon Ratto and Kolsky. If you want to go back and catch up on any part of today's show or listen to it on demand, even days later on the radio.com app, that's the only place you can get it. That's the only place the podcast is available on the radio.com app. If you just missed bits and pieces of the show, use the rewind feature. Just hit the blue button at the bottom and scroll back. We're available on your phone, your iPad. We're available on your desktop. We are available everywhere. And you know who's going to be available here very shortly? Your boy Harbaugh, because Michigan lost again. And that's fantastic. But that's not what I love about sports the most. Man. What I love about sports the most is 88 being back on the field for the Baltimore Ravens.
Welcome back,
guys. I love me some Dez Bryant, and I was happy to see him back there. And we'll be happy to be back with you tomorrow. Make sure you're with us. Damon Ratto and Kolsky coming up next here on Sacramento's number one sports station, ESPN 1320.
Holla.